Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk show. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. It is the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our practice and pleasure and tradition for some time now to set aside the first show of the day on that day and to talk about food and cooking, and generally with the man that we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. Now, let me hasten to add, it's purely an honorary title, ladies and gentlemen. You can't go to Williams-Sonoma and get a discount with that. But we're pleased when he shows up here for this program because we always have fun. We always have a good time. And what we do is pick, and when I say we, I mean he picks a subject about. We have talked about often a key ingredient or sometimes a style of cooking, sometimes cooking from some particular place. And then we just have a good time talking about it and sometimes telling stories and exchanging recipes. And people call in and ask questions. Every once in a while, we maybe have someone who says, look, I have this recipe I'm trying to make, and it just, something's not right here. Do you have an idea what the problem might be? And sometimes Doyle has done a little culinary troubleshooting there. So we always have a good time when he is here. And this time around, he said he would like to talk about eggplant. And I said, well, fine. If that's what you want to do. Okay. Talk about eggplant, and which is, I'm not sure, you know, how much. I'm guessing it is one of the less popular vegetables because probably a lot of people haven't had wide experience of it, and maybe wouldn't even know what to do with one if we gave them and say, okay, here's an eggplant, go make something.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, that was my reason for even considering it. The first reason was I sort of approached it from a matter of, oh boy, what are we going to do with all those good summer vegetables that are coming? And so then eggplant, I became interested in eggplant because I have to look at some good vegetarian recipes and such things. And I thought, gee, eggplant, that is so versatile. And I wanted to know. My curiosity of talking about this is I want to know how folks in the Midwest deal with eggplant. I know it as a Mediterranean dish, and I like it very much. I have a Chinese dish that I want to share, which I really, really do like very much. But then when I was talking with one of my friends, a Chicago born and bred person, said, I never, ever heard of an eggplant or never saw an eggplant until 1950. And I'm saying, what? Because I remember my mother, the worst cook in the world, who always provided food for us, but nevertheless, very plain and simple. We had eggplant often, and there was no fuss, and it was not treated as special. It was a matter of, oh, we're having eggplant today. And I recall that all she did was, I think she may have dipped it in flour and then fried it. Mm-hmm. Simply, I don't think it was done in cornmeal. I think it was done in flour. I always enjoyed it. I was always puzzled at the texture and the flavor of it. Flavor was sort of interesting. The texture was sort of very funny, and it wasn't really crusty on the outside, but yet seems that there was a crust. And I remember that from very, very, very young ages. Always there would be eggplant. So somehow we got eggplant in the Midwest from early times on, but other people completely missed it.
Well, in my growing up, my mother never, ever in our house was there eggplant, and I don't really think that I ate it hardly at all until. In fact, I guess most of my experience with eggplant is Indian. And in fact, there was fondly, and I'll bet there are people who are listening would remember fondly, there was a little Indian restaurant that was on Daniel Street, I think, not very far from where our studios used to be in Gregory Hall, a place called the Taj Mahal. And it was, I think it may at the time have been the only Indian restaurant in Champaign-Urbana, although Basmati might have been operating at the time.
Didn't it become Basmati?
I don't I thought that there were two different groups of people. Anyway, that it was and so when I was working in when the radio station used to be in Gregory Hall and the restaurant was there, I ate there quite often. And they had eggplant in fixed a number of ways. They would have slices of it very lightly breaded and fried. It was very good. And then mixed in with other vegetables as curried vegetables. And it was always good. And I think that's really the first eggplant that I ever ate in significant amounts, and so that was within the last 25 years or something like that. So growing up, certainly in our house, eggplant was not one of the vegetables that was on the menu.
Well, we may find that out. People will call and tell us whether eggplant ever played a part of their life or not. I'm sure that in the Midwest here, it was plain and simple. It was not the exotic ones like moussaka and things like from Greece or Morocco and other places. I have not looked up to see where eggplants came from. I did not pay any attention as to the origin of eggplants. But I've tried to grow them, and they always got eggplant beetles, and so I never did successfully have an eggplant culture.
I did go to the food dictionary on the Epicurious site.
Oh yes,
and what it says it's a member of the nightshade family.
Nightshade,
so it's
yes.
Related to potatoes and tomatoes
and deadly nightshade.
And although it is commonly thought of as a vegetable, it is in fact a fruit. It's a berry.
Oh, it's a berry. Says. Yes, that would be.
But it doesn't say
with the seeds inside. Yes,
where ultimately this came from. Since potatoes and tomatoes aren't they both New World?
Yes, yes.
I'm wondering if it also might be a New World.
Well, it might well be.
Thing.
But it certainly took over the rest of the world, which it, of course would have been done after the 16th century.
Well, we have a caller here to talk with.
Well,
why don't we do that?
Let's talk.
And then also, someone did call in just asking off the air, and maybe this is something we can get to. They would just want to know how to pick a good eggplant. You know, when you go to the store,
oh, yes. Well,
what
there
do you
is
look
a way.
For?
There,
All right.
There is a way.
Well, let's talk with our first caller in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just had a tip that I read about in a Moroccan cookbook. It talked about how to fry eggplant so it doesn't soak up so much oil.
Oh, gosh, that's a secret. I wonder how they do it.
They soak the eggplant in milk first.
Oh, soak
like,
it.
You know, cut up the eggplant, soak it in milk, pour out the milk, and then do what you were going to do to it to fry it.
Oh, that's interesting because it probably the milk has soaked up in it. I mean, you put oil in and you have to put more oil in and you put more oil. And you see, again, I don't recall that being a problem with my mother's cooking because that's too complex. And but soaking it in milk, I can imagine that. I see that might work. I get kind of aggravated because when I make a ratatouille, you know, all I'm doing is pouring oil in. But there is a time when the oil comes back out when you cook certain things. And that's a very interesting puzzle.
Yeah.
So, that's very good to know.
Also, eggplant is used in Moroccan cooking. I don't have the cookbook, otherwise yes. I'd give you a recipe, but that was a tip I remembered.
Moroccan cooking uses eggplant a lot. Now, they're a little bit different in the shape that we have that you get here in the grocery stores. They're smaller, and that is a difference. Do you cook eggplant very much?
Yeah. I make baba ganoush, which is...
Oh, yes.
In the Middle Eastern, that's pretty simple. That's just tahini, lemon, garlic, salt, olive oil, and eggplant.
Yes, sometimes that's called poor man's caviar.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was a very funny name.
And if you roast the eggplant first, it gets that really smoky flavor.
Oh, yes, yes. But remember to turn it upside down when you cut the eggplant in half and turn it upside down and roast it.
And then I guess there's a Persian version that uses yogurt instead of tahini.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yes, that would be good. There's a lot of dips. When I found all of the recipes on Epicurious, there were an awful lot of dips and such things. And then baba ganoush is the one that we know mostly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to give them the milk.
Well, yes, thank you.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
That is a great – I'm going to pay attention to that because I've always been annoyed that it is just like a sponge. It just soaks it up, and you have to put more in it or you'll never get it browned.
Mm-hmm. We were chatting about this yesterday afternoon around the newsroom, one of our coworkers said, well, what he has done with it is to take the eggplant and char it over the gas flame like you would do you were doing bell peppers.
Bell peppers, yes.
Blacken the skin, then remove the skin. He says that does give it a nice sort of
roasty flavor, yeah.
And then he just takes it and makes it as a kind of a cold side dish by putting it into yogurt. And then he says if you want to put hot chilies in there, you can do that. If you want to put some cilantro in there, you could do that. And it's kind of an Indian
I would take some black mustard seeds, and I would crush the black mustard seeds, and I would take some cumin seeds and crush them, and I would put that in it, and then some cilantro, along and maybe a little bit of sugar and a little bit of salt. Yeah. That would be a good, like a raita.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, my.
All right. Very good. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. This is line two, also in Urbana.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Hello there.
Yeah, I love eggplant. I have one long Asian eggplant now that I'm going to have today.
Yes.
Which I got at the Far East, which is that wonderful Vietnamese store with all kinds of wonderful vegetables.
Oh, yes.
On Fifth Street.
Fifth Street, yes.
Well, what I do is I don't deep fry anything, and I steam it.
Oh, steamed, yes.
Or broil it. What I do is I slice it relatively thinly, put it under the broiler. I put spray on it first, food spray.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then turn it over, and it comes out brown, and I start eating it almost immediately. It's just delicious that way, and no garlic or anything. It's just ready to use in a stir fry. Or else, because I've had the experience in restaurants where the eggplant isn't cooked thoroughly.
Oh, yes.
And it's tough, is I use a pan and put a little water in and steam it first. And that way it looks awful when it just steams a while. But then when you do the stir fry, you put it in, it's just delicious.
Oh, that's interesting.
And thirdly, I have some in the freezer right now. After I broil it, if I've gone overboard and broiled too many because they were available and good, I put them in a little plastic container and freeze them, and then I use them after they're thawed with the, there's a funny noise in my...
Me too.
Is your radio turned up by any chance?
No, it's turned off.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. That is kind of
odd. Oh,
yeah,
there it is. All right. Yeah, I didn't turn it off. I just turned it down. Yeah, I have it in the freezer. And again, when I take it out, I just defrost it and use it with tofu and other vegetables, and it's wonderful. But I use it mostly in Asian.
Yes. Yes. Asian recipes are very popular. And of course, as we've spread and find more new recipes like that. But I'm just curious where all this comes from.
What I do?
Well, I mean, the fact you told me the influences that you're using. So.
Yeah, but I sort of made up all the freezing and stuff. I mean,
Well, that's interesting because I don't know about freezing. Yes.
I have several. One or two plastic containers filled now, but now I have a fresh one.
Uh-huh.
And it's also good in the fake chopped liver restaurant.
We talked about that. Chopped liver.
Yes, a vegetarian chopped liver. Yes, we talked about that.
And it's delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways. There are cookbooks just on eggplant. I think it's incredible. And I'll probably, after hanging up, think of other things. But I do use it all the time, and broiling it. As I described.
Yes.
With the food spray. You don't have to deep fry it.
Then you don't have to deep fry it, exactly.
No, and it really is so good, again, as I do mostly Chinese cooking.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very good.
I have a Chinese recipe that will be very close. I'm going to try to give it today.
Well, do it now.
Well, pretty soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Doyle.
All right. Well, now, here, courtesy of the font of all knowledge, Wikipedia, I can tell you that the eggplant is native to southern India and Sri Lanka.
Oh!
It says here that it's been cultivated in southern and eastern Asian countries since prehistory, but appears to have become known to the Western world no earlier than 1500 CE. There are many Arabic and North African names for it. That, along with the lack of ancient Greek and Roman names, indicate it was introduced throughout the Mediterranean by the Arabs who invaded Persia in the early Middle Ages. So there you have it. And well, anyway, if people really want to read more of the story of eggplant, they can go to Wiki, and that's what it says.
Oh, that's good. Well, then that's one of the reasons why there are so many recipes from that area of the country.
That area, yeah, absolutely.
And explains why there aren't very many recipes from American cooks.
Mm-hmm. And apparently the name eggplant for it that we have developed from the fact that the fruits of some 18th century European cultivars were yellow or white and looked like goose or hen's
eggs.
Yeah,
they weren't very big. And they were white, yes.
All right, very good.
I knew that part, but I didn't know the particular time period.
All right. Well, we're here talking this morning with Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. Once a month, it's always on the first Wednesday, we talk about food and cooking, and this time around, he said, let's talk about eggplant. So if you have a good recipe to share, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and next we'll talk with someone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. My first run-in with an eggplant was when one appeared on the sidewalk in front of my house in New Jersey. Apparently, it's fallen off somebody's truck or somebody. I didn't know what it was. It was quite gorgeous with its dark purple skin, and it was just like this gift from heaven, but we didn't know what to do with it.
was it a big one, an American eggplant?
Yeah, a big purple jug.
Yes.
Somewhere I learned a year or two ago to take the long, skinny, small Japanese
yes.
eggplants, cut them in half lengthwise, and then score them diagonally down to the skin. In two directions, they end up with a diamond pattern.
Yes.
And then chop up garlic and chop up rosemary and sprinkle those into the grooves.
Oh, yeah.
And brush it with a little bit of olive oil and then broil that.
And broil. So rosemary and garlic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unusual.
So you have a soft inside and a darkened top.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what the secret is to get it so that it's crispy in the top and mushy on the inside, but that's the ideal. But I was just looking at the cookbook Vegetables Every Day by Jack Bishop. He was on one of the WYLL radio call-in programs
yes.
some time ago. He's got pages of it, of eggplant recipes. He does something similar with a standard sort of eggplant, about 2 pounds, cuts them into three-quarter-inch thick rounds. So I guess it's cutting across the
That would be, yes, in rounds, yeah.
And then he marinates them for an hour, the slices, in half a cup of lemon juice with a quarter of a cup of olive oil, 4 medium garlic cloves minced, and a tablespoon of minced fresh oregano and salt.
Ooh.
And then grills it.
And then it's grilled. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and again, the idea is to have it dark and crusty on the outside and mushy on the inside.
Well, it gets that way.
Yeah. And I have a recipe from Nepal.
Oh, my.
Which I haven't actually made, but I've tasted, and it looks gorgeous. It was this sort of pale green color because it's got cilantro in it.
Oh, yes.
A good friend made it. In the oven, you bake the eggplant until it's soft at
yes.
325 for about 45 minutes. Then you, it says peel the skin. I don't know why you couldn't just scoop out the inside. Remove this, but don't use the seeds. You heat a little bit of oil in a small pan, and then you add some fenugreek seeds until it's dark
uh-huh.
and pop. No quantities here. You have to guess.
Yes.
Then you remove it. You move that from the heat, and you add chopped cilantro leaves, about half a cup, peeled and chopped ginger root, again, no quantity, peeled and chopped garlic, coriander powder, lemon juice, and then you mix it all together and let it sit for about half an hour, and you serve it with crackers or something. It just looked gorgeous, and my husband, who used to never like eggplant and could taste it whenever I tried putting it in
oh, yes.
likes that, and he likes some of the other things we've come up with. I remember, too, that hearing oh, now his name has gone out of my brain. He writes children's stories, and every once in a while it's on NPR. He lives on the Hudson. What's his name? He had to lose some weight, and one of the things he did was he went on a ratatouille diet.
Oh, my.
He cooked up huge amounts of ratatouille and
yes.
every day. I'm not sure he had it for every meal, but...
It is substantial.
Yes, and has lots of vegetables in it. And you, I'm wondering whether the skin, with its nice dark color, you know, they say to include lots of color in your diet. And usually purples and reds have lots of good phytochemicals in them. So I'm wondering whether we should...
Well, you know, that's sort of an interesting point, because some recipes say peel the eggplant and some recipes say don't peel the eggplant. And some places they peel the skin off and then use it one of the moussaka recipes coats the pan with the skin, and then you put all the stuff inside of it and sort of bake it as a little tureen covered unused skin, and others peel it off. I don't remember mother peeling it, because I do know that it would turn dark as soon as you peel it. You have to do something to it. You could put it in some acid water of some sort, but it will turn dark, and it doesn't look pleasant. So it's interesting to me that some recipes say leave the skin on, some say take it off, and there are some recipes that say take off only an inch strip every other inch, so that you have striped eggplant. So
good place to find a variety of eggplants is in the summertime at the Urbana Farmers Market.
Oh yes, and I think that they're getting some more interesting different styles. There is a Thailand eggplant that is used in Thailand cooking, and it's little and round, about the size of an egg, and is green and white striped. I know those are available sometimes. Thank you. Well,
thank you very much. We are talking this morning with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Stops by every month, first Wednesday. And we talk about cooking, and this time around he said, well, let's talk about eggplant. And that's what we're doing. And if you have recipes to share, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Let me give you a minute, because I do want to get back to this, the very first question that we had someone called in off there and said, well, how do you pick a good eggplant? What would you look for in
okay.
an eggplant?
Firm, shiny skin, not wrinkled and old and left in the bin too long.
Like me.
And yes, and it wants to be firm. It doesn't want to have any soft spots in it. And sometimes you'll find one that's bruised, and there'll be a great big brown bruise on it. That's all spoiled on the inside, so don't get it. So you want a nice firm to the touch, and not withered and not wrinkly.
Okay. Is there a big difference between the big kind that we sort of grew up with, and now some of the styles that you can get that are more like the size of a zucchini?
You know,
like the Japanese stuff. I mean, is there
yes.
a big difference between the big ones and the small ones?
There is. I don't think that there's any difference in taste. But it's just but what happens is, like in the Japanese eggplant, they are well suited to slicing thin, long, and keep them connected, and then spread them out like a fan. And there's a technique you can use for those that you can't use for any others.
It just makes a very sexy presentation.
Yes, it does. A very beautiful presentation.
And I suppose those two are maybe a little bit easier to grill. Because
they're
smaller,
slices. Because when you get a big eggplant, that's a lot.
Yeah,
but boy, if you want to make ratatouille, make it out of a big eggplant.
So maybe partly the answer is, well, it depends on what it is you're going to do with it, and what you want it
yes.
the final thing to look like.
Exactly, because there are some salads and things that want that flared out look, and then some that you only want just little tiny rounds about the size of a dollar, you know, in that. So yes, and it's I don't hear anything about I want to say crossovers, you know, that we only have this eggplant, but I want to make that dish. And I don't know if that ever happens because what you're describing is that the eggplant sort of dictates what it's going to be by its size and shape.
Okay. Well, we have a number of other folks to talk with. Let's talk next with someone in Champaign, and this would be line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was interested to hear that eggplant actually came from India, because there are really hundreds of ways of cooking eggplant.
Mm.
But one of my favorite, and it's very popular in India, is smoked eggplant, and it's usually done on coals. The eggplant is grilled on the coals and then scraped out and cooked with, so it has this nice smoky flavor, and you can either use it very simply in yogurt with mint and chopped onion. So it's just an eggplant raita, and it's a nice complement to Indian food, which is really heavy on the oil.
Yes.
So it's a nice side dish which you can use, and you put ground roasted cumin, sprinkle that on the top with paprika or a little bit of sprinkle of red pepper. And if you really want to live dangerously, you can put a chopped green chili in the raita. But the smoked eggplant, it's a smoky flavor that really is what one is going for. And then another extremely popular dish is, it's called a bharta, and that's where, again, you smoke the eggplant on the coals, or you can do it on a gas pan,
mm-hmm.
Someone mentioned that. And then, again, you scrape it out, and if you get little flecks of the smoked skin, that's okay. It adds to the flavor.
Yes.
And then you chop onion, ginger, garlic, all fresh, and and you fry that with turmeric. And this does drink oil. And then when you fry those, you put in the green chilies, and then you put in chopped tomatoes, and you can use canned tomatoes for that. And you let it cook in the oil till you kind of tell that the oil is, you know, the tomatoes and everything give off the oil eventually.
Yes, that's the part that I wanted to talk about, which is very interesting. You're putting all this oil into eggplants and tomatoes and such, but then in the Indian manner, you cook it, and all of a sudden it says, I've had it, and it gets rid of the oil, and that is a particular point at which you then continue to cook the
right, and it's a point where you're getting impatient and you think it's never going to happen.
Yes,
and it does happen.
And it does happen, and it's a miracle.
Yes,
I love that cooking.
And then you put in the eggplant and you stir it in with that, and you let it absorb some of that oil again. And that's it. And, of course, your salt and pepper and so on, and garnish with cilantro. And it has this wonderful golden color, almost translucent if it's done. But that takes a lot of oil. We end up usually sort of cutting back on the oil, and so it doesn't look quite as gorgeous. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I would strongly recommend you trying that. So.
I think that I'll make an effort. I like that, because that's. Do you use mustard seeds or asafoetida?
Not for the eggplant. It's used in a lot of Indian cooking, but not for the eggplant. In fact, we often put in ground cumin and a little bit of ground coriander. But in this dish,
yes.
You go just with the ginger. The first trilogy in Indian cooking is. Sort of trinity, I should say, is ginger, onion, garlic. And the second trinity is turmeric, cumin, and coriander.
Oh, yes.
And it's amazing. You can put the same spices and then get totally different results.
Absolutely. And it's by different amounts. I love that aspect of cooking.
Yes. Well, so that's what I was going to suggest.
Oh, well, good. Thank you very, very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Other comments, questions are certainly welcome. We're a little bit past the midpoint here.
My.
It's our monthly show on cooking. We've been doing it for a long time on the first Wednesday with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And every time we do it, we pick something a little bit different. Sometimes it's a key ingredient. Sometimes it's a particular dish. Sometimes it's a style of cooking. And we exchange recipes and stories and cooking tips. And all calls, comments. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Now, you said that you had brought with you
some recipes. And I have a story.
Okay.
Can't we do this for 2 hours?
not today. some other time.
I'm getting kind of excited. People have some very good thoughts. I want to give a recipe that I find a real no fail, and it's very, very pleasant, but it's long and complicated, and it will be available.
We can have it typed up, and
yes.
So that if folks will drop us a line, we can send it. I think that we found that's the easiest.
Do they send
And yes, please, if you would, please send a stamped self-addressed envelope.
Stamped self-addressed.
That would really help us get it to you quickly.
It would be more, it would be faster.
Yeah.
Well, here it is. So I we'll have it typed up. This is a Hunan style of dealing with eggplant that I find finally I can make it, and it's awfully good. And every time I take it somewhere, it's always eaten up. But now here's the complex thing: the thin, hot, and sour dressing. It's long list, but that's why you want to call in for it. 3 tablespoons of soy sauce. 4 tablespoons of vinegar, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, 1.5 tablespoons of red hot pepper oil, which is another sesame oil that has hot peppers in it, 1 teaspoon of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of salad oil or vegetable oil, 1 tablespoon of minced fresh ginger, 1 tablespoon of minced fresh garlic, 1 tablespoon of minced scallions, 1 tablespoon of white wine, and 1 tablespoon of cilantro, and then 1 to 2 cups of chicken broth. So it's very, very thin. It's nice and hot, and it has a very rich taste. And here's what you put it on. Go back to the other part of the book. He calls it, I'd forgotten the title of it, eggplant salad. What I is something that no one has mentioned, but instead of steaming eggplant, I put it in the microwave for 4 minutes. I peel the eggplant, cut it into long, thin, pencil-like strips, and just lay it in a dish that you can put in the microwave. And I microwave it for 4 minutes, and it becomes soft and pliable and very tender. So what for what they use, he says, 1 medium-sized American eggplant or 3 or 4 Oriental eggplants, then 1.5 cups of that salad dressing that I just told you about, and an extra tablespoon of sesame oil and minced scallions and cilantro, some more cilantro. Shred the eggplant into very thin strips. I don't shred it. I do cut it up before I even cook it. The other one was to boil it or steam it until it is fork tender. So it isn't fried or roasted. Put it in a serving plate and pour the salad dressing over it, and then add some extra sesame oil on top. And I generally let it cool, and I take it cool because it's called a salad, but it's a very nice dish, and it's sort of exotic. There's something about sesame oil and flavors that are all in here that I find very alluring. I mean, it's just magic. Sesame oil is a marvelous, marvelous product. Yeah.
Well, until you got to the chicken broth, I'm thinking, well, this is kind of like a spicy Asian vinaigrette.
Vinaigrette, yes, you're right. That's exactly what it is. But then it's thinned down with chicken broth. I don't put as much chicken broth in it as it asks for. I keep it less than a cup. But what it is, it's very, very thin. Mm-hmm. There is a rich hot and sour dressing. But that takes chicken broth as well. But I like the thin one. It's so tasty.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Well, we'll have that typed up.
Yeah, so folks will send us.
But I wanted you to know about it because I find it a very handy thing to do. And you can make it and then just put it in the refrigerator and let it chill.
See, I was thinking, well, that first I started thinking eggplant. I thought, well, okay, now what can you do with eggplant? And I thought there are these signature dishes. There's moussaka. There's eggplant Parmesan, there's baba ganoush, you know, some of these things, and ratatouille. And I'm thinking, well, okay.
But now remember, but then, none of those would have come into our cultural until after World War II because no one cooked. No one cooked other than mama's German cooking and great-grandmother's Swedish cooking and just Midwest bread, meat, and potatoes. All those things are new to us, and I just love it.
Yeah, and well, now of course I'm realizing, well, no, there's many Indian dishes that use it. I'm sure that there are other sort of Middle Eastern, North African dishes.
I've got one here.
Greek
stir
fries, all this,
tell
all
you
this kind
about.
Of stuff. Well, we do have another caller, so why don't we take them? We'll take them right now in Urbana, line one. Hello.
When you soften the eggplant in the microwave.
Yes.
Is there a significant difference in flavor between roasted
No, I don't find that. Now, what would be is if the roasting style. Of course, the roasting style, you end up with mush. This is cut. I cut it, and it ends up as pieces that don't fall apart, and so it isn't mushy. It's soft. I don't find any change in the flavor of it. But you would lack anything if you were dealing with roasting it or grilling it. You would lose that smoke flavor. But since he suggests to steam or boil it, boiling sounds awfully severe to me. Steaming it, I think, would be close to it. So if I'm doing steamed things, I do them in the microwave because they only take 4 minutes. But I don't find a change in taste, no.
Well, part of the reason I was asking was also for translation to other vegetables. And the other day I was making something quickly in the oven and I wanted to roast sweet potatoes and So I think I microwaved them for just a little bit, then cut them up and
into
smaller chunks and then roasted them in order to speed up the process.
Yes.
The other thing I did was, this is away from the eggplant, but it has to do with skins. I was reading in Nutrition Action that sweet potatoes with their skins on have a whole lot more potassium. So I've decided just to scrub this. I was never raised to eat sweet potato skins.
Oh,
so
well.
When I cut these up, I just left the skins on, you know, washed them and left the skins
on. It was I love sweet potatoes, and I love them. Love them roasted. They don't take quite as long as a regular potato, and I just bake them in the oven. I do know that you can, if you're going to mash them up, a sweet potato, and make some other dishes where the potatoes are mashed up, they are very easy to do in the microwave, but they don't take very long. They're less than 45 minutes. But I oil them before I put them in the oven. Just rub oil on them and poke them several times with a fork so they won't explode and just roast them straight away. And of course, I prefer I'm crazy, I know, but I really prefer the skins to the inside. And anyone that peels it off and puts it to the side, I get very anxious about because that's the part that I wanted. It really is good. I'm a sweet potato fan, but straight, you know, I just like it. And then not only that, but a cold roasted sweet potato is just delicious. A wonderful snack. I mean, I'll never throw one away, you know, and then I'll just slice them up and eat them as a little snack later the next day, cold.
You can also mash them up with some fruit juice.
Oh.
And pineapple juice or some orange juice, even concentrated orange juice.
Orange juice, yes.
From the freezer, and it gives them an extra flavor, moistens them up without adding fat.
Oh.
And you can use it as a spread on crackers. So
that would do it, too. Oh, that's good. Well, I'm fond of mashed sweet potatoes. So
the sesame oil, I like the toasted sesame.
Yes, the brown has the dark one has a lot more flavor to it. The I don't know that I've ever bought a plain one. I would always choose the dark one. Yeah.
And it's used for oils that I don't use consistently, regularly enough to make sure that they don't. I tend to go in spurts. with things like that. I just keep them in the refrigerator. That way
it's less
likely to have them become rancid.
Yeah, sesame oil, you don't want to buy in large quantities because you use such small amounts of sesame oil. I mean, a whole dish will take a teaspoon, you know.
And it was Daniel Pinkwater who did the who cooked up bunches of in order to lose a lot of weight. He had to because I think he may have had heart problems or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what he had, but he had to lose a lot of weight.
Well, I think he chose a good dish, a ratatouille. I haven't made one for a long time. The recipe for ratatouille that I like most of all is a Julia Child recipe. I'm very sure that it is, where after she does a lot of the cooking of the tomatoes and everything is all cooked down, she puts in more fresh tomatoes at the very end. So there's some that are just ever so slightly cooked, and they have a different texture. And that's the only recipe I've ever seen to do that, but it's very exotic.
Thanks.
All right, yes. Thanks for the call. Well, again, other questions, comments are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Actually, last year or so, we've been fairly often in our house, we have made mashed sweet potatoes. And we took a tip from Alton Brown, who made them by peeling them and cooking in the chunks and cutting the chunks and then steaming them.
And then steaming them, yes.
To cook them, which takes about, I don't know, 20 minutes, yeah. Maybe a little bit less, depending on how big you cut the chunks. And then mash them up. And Mrs. Inge, this is her thing. She has developed it and just put in a little bit of butter. It doesn't take very much. And then something like to give it a little bit of sweetness, like good quality maple syrup is nice, a little bit of that. Maybe a little bit of brown sugar, if you want to put it, a tiny bit of vanilla. Not to make them, I think you really have to be careful.
Yeah, it
doesn't take
a
lot of either the butter or the sweet.
I'm sitting here waiting saying, and star anise.
Oh,
and sweet potatoes is wonderful.
I don't care for that flavor. Licorice.
Oh. Well, it is licorice.
I don't care for it.
But it's an exotic licorice.
I don't care for it. That's true. But I mean, and even, you know, something like the Chinese five spice mixture.
Yes.
I just don't. That taste has never been.
Oh, that's too bad. That's, they're so pretty and they're nice to use.
Yeah. Well, in any case, that's true. They're really lovely. Lovely thing, because you get that. They call it star because it looks like a star.
It looks like a big star.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Morris. Somebody here on our toll free line 4. Hello.
Hi. When the lady brought up sweet potatoes, I hope she was going to ask my question, but she didn't.
Well,
I wanted to make sweet potato fries, and I did, and I didn't bake them for very long, and they were very mushy, and I did put some oil on them. Is there a way to bake them so they are like French fries?
Oh dear, I saw a recipe for something like French fries of sweet potatoes. I think they're called sweet potato chips, but I don't recall how they were prepared. I thought they were baked, like
okay.
You were doing. Did you spray them with Pam or oil?
I put sprinkle a little oil on top.
Yeah, that should have.
And they just got really soft, and so I ended up just mashing them up.
They are going to be soft. I don't think you cover them with anything.
What temperature did you cook them at?
375.
Oh, not hot enough.
Okay.
Okay.
For example, I'm looking at a recipe here. This is one off the Epicurious site, and it says they want you to cook it at 500 degrees.
Oh, so very hot, very fast.
And if I was going to, you know, sometimes we do oven fried potatoes, like
yes,
russet potatoes.
Yes, yes.
And I
yeah.
think that they cook at 450. It's a very high heat.
That's perfect.
That's exactly what the problem is, because the rest of it is just sitting there and sort of stewing in its own juices.
Right,
yes,
right.
Very.
So how many minutes does that say at 500?
Okay, well, this says at 500, 30 minutes. That seems like a. You know, well, actually, I'd say that may well be right. I would keep an eye on them.
Right.
I'll bet
right.
they're crisp.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks so much for
yes.
checking that. Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Sure
Bye-bye.
Thing. And again, maybe we have about 5 minutes. Somebody else wants to call real quick. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222.
Well, now I decided on this problem of eggplant about a week ago, but all of these changes have happened in my life most recently. I went to a restaurant here in town, and I have to tell its name because it's part of the story. I went to the New Pasha restaurant, and they had the Imam Beyildi. The imam fainted. Well, I've known about that recipe for many years. I've never tasted it. I've known that it's really quite wonderful. It's an eggplant dish. It's called and the priest fainted. And there are reasons as to why the priest fainted. Number one, because it tasted so good, or number two, because it used so much expensive olive oil that he was appalled. So there's no real answer to that. But it is exotic. Anyway, I tasted it and I ate it and it was really, really wonderful. And I asked them how they made it. And then I came home and Googled the recipe to find the recipe. And lo and behold, about the fourth Google down, someone said, "Oh, we went to this Greek Mediterranean restaurant called Pasha, and they had this dish, and I ordered it, and this is the way they made it." Except, she says, "I think that they really didn't use this recipe. They used this recipe, you know, where they put it in blue, mm-hmm. and then you can connect on that." And she suggests that instead of so much olive oil, that they used tomato juice. But anyway, I have a quick version, and we'll have this available too. This is one or two eggplant. Now, they cut it in half-inch slices. I would like it cut in half, and then I would love to roast it first. So it's going to take quite a while. And then three onions, which is a lot, and two bell peppers, which is a lot, and two cloves of garlic, tomatoes, you can use diced tomatoes if you want. That's all made in, you know, you cook those separately and not separately. You cook them one at a time, the onions and then the peppers, and then put in the tomatoes. So you're making very much a gravy, a vegetable gravy. Then the eggplants are then put into a dish. And this is really peculiar. They're put into a dish, and then you slice them on the top so that they open up, and you then stuff those eggplants with this tomato-onion mixture, pour a little bit of olive oil over it, put in water at the bottom, and a lot of olive oil, a quarter of a cup of olive oil, or you pour in a tomato sauce, not a tomato soup, a tomato sauce, and then that's baked. But what happens is it caramelizes, and that's the mystery of this particular dish. It caramelizes, and it's exotic. It is wonderful. I don't know if I want to run home and make it or go back out and get another one. It is good, but the priest fainted or the imam fainted is the name of that particular dish. And if you want to have some fun, then call it up on Google as the imam fainted,
and you'll get
about 120 different hits, and you'll find this reference to the person who had, and they had only just called it in on the 27th of March, which was just last week. So I found that rather amusing that here was a recipe that I'd known about for many, many years, and I knew of it, and I thought it was very exotic, but I had never tasted it, and no one had ever cooked it for me, though there was one person who had offered to it. I just never took them over.
Yeah, yes, you're absolutely right. All these different recipes for this Imam Beyildi.
Yeah, yes.
Someone will have to forgive my
pronunciation. I'm not sure. Beyildi.
Yeah. Well, I have heard it. There is an Italian pasta dish that's called a priest strangler. Now,
that's strangozzi. That's strangozzi. Yes, and actually, it isn't. I got too much to say. You're right. It is. It's pasta.
Right.
And it's a rough cut pasta, and rather than thin and all that sort. And first the idea. You're wrong in wanting to think you want to strangle the priest. What that really came from was fill the priest up with pasta so that he doesn't eat too much meat.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought the idea was something like it was that it was so good that the priest was just shoveling it in and he was almost choking because it was so good. Oh, so yep. The idea is you want to feed the priest and fill him up, but you
somehow in that translation, those words that I learned that dish in northern Italy or in Cumbria. That is very, very big in Cumbria is Strangozzi.
Yeah.
And I like making it. But I too thought, this is weird. You don't talk about making dishes to do people in. And so then I finally found a reference that said, no. What it means is fill them up.
Yeah. As well, there would have been a time when the thing was that if people had to take turns hosting the priest for dinner on Sunday.
Yes.
And it was sort of your obligation that he would come by and you would feed him. And I suppose that some people might think that was, something or an odious
obligation. What the dish is a rough cut pasta. I mean, you cut it, you have to cut it by hand, and it's about a quarter of an inch, and it's full. And I like making it with cocoa and red wine, which makes it a little bit brown, and then serve it with mushrooms. But then here's the exotic part, a drizzle of white truffle oil on top of this mushroom sauce that you put on this rough spaghetti.
That's too good for the priest. Let him buy his own truffle oil. We have to stop.
I'm sorry. Not on a high note.
On that note, we'll have to stop. Let's stop on a high note. With the promise that once again, next month, Doyle will be back. We'll do it again. In the meantime, if you drop us a line, and please, if you can, it will really help us if you send us the self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll send you the couple of recipes that Doyle has mentioned. And then next month, we'll do something different.
I hope so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, stops by here once a month, always on first Wednesday, and we have a good time talking about food and cooking.